That image behind me probably puts something in your mind in reference to what we're talking about. You've probably met someone very much like that or interacted with them maybe in the workplace, or maybe you had a friend that you wondered why on earth you were friends with them. But this is a common attitude without even saying a word. The attitude of this is all about me. Life is all about me, the life that I'm trying to live for others. Well, it's only used because it brings glory and honor to me. God has dealt with this very attitude over and over again. You go through the book of Proverbs and you hear about pride over and over and over again. A little bit of a spoiler alert for tonight. We're going to be talking about one of those instances. But why on earth does God talk about this subject so much and even his own people still struggle with it? Why is it the case that this is something that is so difficult to deal with? Well, we're going to be dealing with an instance this morning where Jesus dealt with someone who really was engaged in this kind of attitude and this kind of a lifestyle, and he does it through a parable. But that phrase right there, this is the title of our sermon this morning, but look at that phrase. I thank God I am not like other men. Is there an instance where I could make that statement and it be a good and true statement? Yeah, in some instances it's true. I can say, I thank God I'm not like those who are lost because I don't have where they're going. I thank God that I'm not like other men in the sense that I hurt him. But there's far more meaning behind this phrase when Jesus uses it than just a comparison in the sense of saying, I don't want to be like the world. And so let's break it down this morning. Let's notice how this phrase, this parable, has in it a stark contrast. If you would please turn to Luke chapter 18. That's Luke chapter 18. Here Jesus is dealing with a group of people, a large multitude that he is teaching. And in chapter 17, we read that he answered the Pharisees and then deals with his disciples. And so we're carrying on with this line of preaching. And we get down to verse 9. He says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Now let's slow down and look at this section here and what is Jesus actually saying. If we go to verse 9, we see that he says, those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now we might have a definition that we come up with for what that means, but that word that's used for trusted in themselves literally carries with it the idea they convinced themselves. They convinced themselves that they were righteous. Now, how did they do this? Well, we see what the Pharisee in the parable described. I thank God that I am not like other men, these unjust, these extortioners, these adulterers. I'm not like all these people, even this publican. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm comparing myself to others to prove that I'm a righteous man. Friends, there are Christians all over this country, in congregations of the Lord's church all over this country, who say, I am a faithful Christian for no other reason than I'm better than my friends. I'm better than the world. At least I don't go out and do this. At least I'm not a drunkard. At least I'm not a gambler. At least I'm not an alcoholic. At least I read my Bible sometimes. Friends, we have never been a part of a better than Christianity. We've never been a congregation, never been a people that follows the Lord who bases their righteousness only on how they're not exactly like the world. Friends, we are only righteous or wicked by where we stand with God. Nothing more, nothing less. But let's see how this continues on. He says they despised others. That phrase that's being used here literally means consider them worthless. Consider them worthless. Think about that situation. He's saying it's not just that they're elevating themselves to an ungodly level. That's not the only issue here. The other side of the coin is not only are you thinking of yourself more highly than you should, you have devalued my creation. You have looked at them as lesser than. And friends, before we jump on our high horse and say we don't do that, yes, we do. Yes, we do. How, Josh? How on earth do I do that? When was the last time you sat around with a group of people and talked down about somebody and talked about how stupid they were? I heard a Christian on one occasion, and he gets very into politics, gets very into sports. Seems like every controversial subject, that's just his bread and butter. But he made a statement that was shocking. He said, "I wish God would just wipe out all the stupid people in this country." Friends, the difference between what we would consider a stupid person and myself is a little bit of education. And maybe in that statement, in that situation, maybe I'm the stupid one. Friends, we have no right, no ability, no option that is God-given that gives us the right to devalue someone else. In fact, our job is to try to show them they have value, to try to encourage them to see themselves as God sees them. So when we're looking at this passage here and what Jesus is saying, these men had convinced themselves. Who's he talking to? Very likely he's still talking about the Pharisees, the publicans, the Sadducees, these people who consider themselves to be the righteous of the righteous among their people. But Jesus is counteracting that. Jesus is saying, no, you think you're righteous. You think you're doing what's right, but let me tell you a story that illustrates how you're living. I'm sure all of us have sat through a sermon before where we've heard an illustration that just didn't quite make me happy because it sounded a little too close to what I was doing. That's what Jesus is trying to do right here. He's saying, I'm illustrating your actions in this own way. We go to the book of Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 46. That's Isaiah chapter 46. Let's go down to verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 46. Here, God speaking to Israel through Isaiah, he says, "Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted who are far from righteousness." Now, here's the interesting part about this section. Do you think that Israel thought they were unrighteous? Do you think that Israel, when they heard Isaiah speaking to them, thought they were far from God? I can tell you why that is. They still talked about being God's chosen people. They said all throughout the prophets, they say, well, God delivered us from all of these things, but this isn't even something that changes because we go all the way to the Pharisees and what do they tell Jesus? We are Abraham's seed. We have been in bondage to no man. Pray tell, who's in charge of you right now? Who's over Israel when they make that statement? Rome. And Jesus says, I'm not even talking about Rome alone. You guys are in bondage to sin. A stark contrast is shown here between what these people are doing and what God has described. We go on and he says, listen to how this Pharisee is praying this prayer. Just listen to how he goes about it. Let's go back to Luke chapter 18 here and listen to how he puts this. He goes on, or even like this tax collector, verse 12, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Do you see how he's going about this prayer? What part of that thanked God for anything actually? What part of that prayer brought any focus to God? Just imagine for a moment, and I'm thankful for our two elders because I know they're not going to do this, but just imagine for a moment one of our elders got up in the pulpit and started leading a prayer. And this is how the prayer goes. Lord, I am thankful I'm not like all these wicked, low-down people out in the world. In fact, I'm so thankful for not being like them. I'm thankful I'm not like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And start going on and on and on about how, oh, well, you see, I go over here and I do all these good works. I go out and have Bible studies. I go out and do... Do you see how that actually sounds? Where does it say that this man was? The Pharisee and the publican. How do we view the world? Do we view the world with hatred? Or do we view the world the way that God does? In Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, Paul is making a very interesting description. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. In what instance is he referring to? He knows how to abound. He knows how to be abased. He knows how to be without. He knows how to be with plenty. Is that Paul bragging? God, look at me. I know how to live in poverty to serve you. No. No, that was a lesson to people around him saying, here's how you can trust in God. When Paul made these statements we consider to be bragging or self-promoting, no. Paul is trying to show the people around him that he serves God first and foremost, because he can also make the statement in Galatians 2:20 that he is crucified with Christ. Paul cared about what the Lord thought of him. He cared how all of this played out. But just that Pharisee, right? He is just such a wicked man, because he's going out and he's praising himself instead of praising God. Now, I want you to notice something for a second. I've been wording some of these things in the sermon the way I have because I wanted you to think. How many of us have been degrading the Pharisee the same way that he degraded the publican? That's just a question you can answer, because I know when I was studying for this sermon, it bothered me too. Because it's so easy for us to get caught up in this trap of saying, look at me, God, I'm doing what's right. All these people, they're the problem. Friends, we have to make a very important statement as Christians. We have to acknowledge something for ourselves. It is no one else's fault where we are spiritually speaking. It is no one else's fault my attitude towards others. And it is no one else's fault how I view God's Word. I'm the only one in control of myself. I'm the only one who has the ability to tell me what I'm going to do. God has the authority to give the laws, but He gave me the ability to choose to follow them. Now, there's consequences to those actions. If I choose to walk away from God, there are consequences, but He gave me the choice to do so. Friends, this publican and this Pharisee both went to the temple to pray, but that Pharisee wasn't there to pray for himself. In a contrite way, thanking God. No, he was there to brag about himself to those who were around. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. And let's get a little bit of a refresher on the people that we're talking about here, these Pharisees. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 23. Here Jesus starts in verse 1. He says, Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best seats at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Now, many of us might not be familiar with what exactly is being said there. These phylacteries he's referring to was literally scriptures that they had written on themselves. Scrolls that they had written up on their garments. For a silly illustration, imagine a preacher walking around having Bibles hanging from his coat. Look at how holy I am. I have the Word of God on me at all times. But all they did was to be seen of men. Friends, there are very likely many of us who are doing works for the church who will never, no one will ever know we did them. No one will ever know the good that was done. But if I'm here just to get the credit, if I'm here just to have the glory, the praise, the honor given to me, friends, I've missed the whole point. I've missed the whole point. But then we get to the publican. Here's where that stark contrast comes into play here. Listen to the prayer of the publican. Verse 14, or verse 13, excuse me. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Look at the difference in the prayers. The Pharisee took 3 verses to talk about himself. The publican took 1. And it was just 1 sentence. Going back to the analogy that we used of an elder standing up in the pulpit and making that prayer, imagine the person he's talking about sitting out in the foyer on his hands and knees, crying his eyes out, begging to God, Lord, I wish I was worthy enough to be in that auditorium with them. Jesus is making a very powerful statement here. These people who had claimed that they were the righteous ones, they were the ones who were doing everything righteously and godly, Jesus says, here's your actions on display. Here's what this looks like. A powerful message. We know that Jesus' teachings throughout his entire ministry challenged the world around him, made many people very angry. But let's just break down how this all played out. First of all, both men were praying to God. What does that imply? They were both religious. They both wanted God to hear their prayer one way or another. We notice that in verse 10, how it says the Pharisee and the publican, they both went to the temple to pray. And that is the next point, is it not? They both were praying in a religious space. They both went to church. They both were sitting there. They both were there to worship in one way or another. But who was the Pharisee's object of worship? And who was the publican's object of worship? Now, let's not miss the significance of what's taking place here, because when they went to the temple, this was a very crowded place. Remember in Acts chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5, the apostles were going into the temple to teach people. It was a common gathering place, a place where people would come to think about God, and Peter and the apostles, they were there trying to help them focus on who God really is, on this new covenant that's been brought into play. So when this Pharisee is standing up and he's praying, remember what Jesus said about those people as well. They love to be seen of men. They would pray standing on the corners of streets, making sure everyone knew that I'm righteous. Do you think this Pharisee's prayer was quiet? Do you think he was just keeping to himself and saying, God, I thank you, I'm not like other men? No, not the way that Jesus is dealing with this. I would imagine he's saying, God, I am thankful I'm not like other men. Making sure everyone around him can hear. And you can almost see him pointing the finger at the publican too, just so everyone knows who he's talking about. Self-righteousness. Elevating himself in the place of God, worshiping himself. And that is really where the key difference is between these two people. Only one knew the Lord and knew his own place. Only one knew the position that they were actually in. The Pharisee, thinking he was closer to God than anyone else, could go. He thinks he can go so far as to even brag about himself to God. I'm reminded of a scripture where God did brag on some of his servants. But what was the instance in which that took place? Was Job walking around and bragging on himself to his friends, saying, look how righteous I have been? No, he said, I don't know what wrong I have done. I don't think I've done anything wrong. In fact, I can almost go so far as to say I haven't done anything wrong. But God bragged on Job. God said, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth. Friends, our faithfulness to God, our commitment to God, is not dictated alone by just how much better we are than others or how much good we do. How do I know that? Jesus just condemned the idea of thinking that you're better than others He just dealt with that particular issue. And whenever he talked about the good works we can do, they're as filthy rags before God. But why, God? I mean, I'm doing good things. I'm helping people, right? God says, because every good work that you do is not capable of fixing the problem that you have. Every good work that you do, every person that you help, that work alone is not going to be enough to save you. He says, I'm the only path that you can go through. He says, I try to help you. I try to give the way for you, but only you can make the decision to follow me. Notice I said alone, though. The works that we do, they are to glorify and honor God. Am I willing to do that? Only one knew his place. And notice exactly how it ended. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. You want to fix self-righteousness in the church? No, you're not the most important thing. You want to fix self-righteousness in the world? Start by recognizing who you actually are. Start by recognizing I have flaws. I need to improve as well and help others to get there. Maybe this morning you're not a member of the Lord's church. Maybe you've never even had the opportunity to follow after God. Well, this morning's a great opportunity for you. You must hear the word, believe it to be true. Upon believing it to be true, we're willing to repent of all of our past sins. Changing our mind just brings a change of life and confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we're willing this morning to baptize you into Christ, bearing that old man of sin, raised to walk in newness of life, leaving all that guilt and shame and fear behind, no longer having to be like that Pharisee, but you can be like that publican. But maybe this morning you are a member of the Lord's church, and maybe you've fallen into the trap that the Pharisee fell into. Maybe you have spent some of your life thinking about how bad other people are instead of how I can make a difference and how much I need to change in my own life. If that's you this morning, if there's something holding you back, don't hesitate. Don't wait for a better day. Come now as together we stand and as we sing.